Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo. I'm also known as Miss ADD. I want to welcome everyone to the program today. I'm so excited about this show. We're going to be having a lot of really good... We're going to be having a lot of really good conversations going on. Hang on 1 minute. Okay, I'm sorry about that. We just had some technical difficulties. So we're going to be talking about Inventive Labs, and we've got the founders, Rick Fiery and Tom Bergeron, that's going to be on. And also, I am just so honored to have Dr. Ned Hollowell on the show. Dr. Hollowell is a world-renowned expert in ADHD community and the author of many books, including the New York Times bestseller, Driven to Distraction. So without further ado, let's get everybody on.
Hi, nice to be with you.
Hi, Dr. Hollowell. I'm so glad that you're on the show. And I guess you don't have a lot of time to be on the show with us today, so I guess I wanted you to talk a little bit about Inventive Labs and what your role is in the school.
Well, my role is as an advisor, but this project that these two guys are producing and growing is the most creative, dynamic, needed, effective, new project I've seen in 25 years. I mean, what they are offering is what's desperately needed, namely a place where people who just don't fit in college, and that's most people or many people with ADHD, can go not to get treatment, but to gain success. They go to Inventive Labs to start a company. Most people with ADD are entrepreneurs. So they go to Inventive Labs where they're immediately received as winners, not as losers, where they're immediately recognized as people with enormous talent, and they just need some structure, some guidance, some handling to help them develop that talent and, you know, grow the business, make the airplane, design the dress, whatever it is they happen to want to do, a reality. And you see, we're wasting the talent of millions of these people because we want to shoehorn them into the standard, you know, college, grad school, get a job pattern, which is fine for some people. You know, I went to college and medical school, but I have ADD, so, you know, so it's not impossible. But for a lot of these kids, it's next to impossible. And for them to have Inventive Labs as an alternative, it's just spectacular. They can go there and be received as the talented people with enormous potential that they are, get the guidance that they need, be challenged in ways that they need to be, interact with peers who are similarly gifted, and you know, in that kind of interaction, develop the sort of the necessary friction that leads to growth. It's a huge boon to the world of entrepreneurs. And I just hope they get the kind of marketing publicity they need, because this is something that once people hear about it, they instantly say, yes, I wish I had that for my friend, my nephew, one person I know who's so talented and is floundering, and if he or she would go up to Inventive Labs, they could get the launching pad for a, you know, really successful takeoff.
Wow, that's incredible. I just wanted to ask you something. There's a lot of art schools around the country, you know, that offer BFAs, and then you know, I'm asking this because personally my own son, who's 24, graduated from an Academy of Art University, and basically he's floundering right now trying to find a job. They haven't done anything to help him in that world. So how is this different? What do they do that's different?
Oh, my God. An art school, you know, gives you a degree in a completely impractical field. I mean, I love art myself, and you know, they're very talented people, but they have no concern about what you're going to do afterward. Whereas right. Inventive Labs is completely geared toward what you're going to do afterward. I love people who get degrees in art, but they better also be thinking about how am I going to... I tell people, your career ought to be the intersection of three circles. First of all, what you love to do. Second of all, what you're really good at. And third of all, what someone will pay you to do. So where those three intersect, that should be your career. Now, the art school degree neglects the third one, what someone's willing to pay you to do. There aren't many jobs for people who can, you know, deliver an intelligent critique of a piece of art. There's
right.
some, to be sure. You know, I think of the Peabody Essex Museum, one of my favorite places in the world, up there on the North Shore. But they're not plentiful.
Right.
You know, so you want to be practical. And people with entrepreneurial spirit, you know, tend to be impractical in dreamy sort of ways, so they need the kind of discipline that Inventive Labs brings to bear. And your son, you know, my hunch is he could benefit enormously.
Yes.
But see, the thing is, millions of people could benefit enormously. And
yes.
I've been trying to send people up there. You know, it's new, so people don't quite get it. And so the first reaction sounds good, but I don't know. I'd rather have them go to a traditional program. And the problem is these traditional programs let these people down. They
exactly.
give them what they promised, the education, the knowledge, but they don't give them the ticket to a future where they'll be paid a salary and can feel the rewards that come from earning a living.
Right, and the other piece of this is the first 2 years of college are usually your general ed classes, and that's where you
right.
lose these kids with ADHD. I mean,
absolutely.
I got lost in college because of that. It's
sure.
boring. It's mundane.
Sure.
And so, you know, the whole idea of just being able to say to them, you know what, what's your passion? We're really
right.
going to help you to do what
right.
you love to do.
Right.
Those
right.
are the most successful
based
people.
Learning. That's the most effective learning, where you're working on a project you care about instead of, you know, researching the genealogy of a South African tribe that you could care less about. You know, it's all no disrespect to South African tribes, but you know, what 19-year-old really gets into that? Unless they
exactly.
want a teacher in anthropology, which is fine. But I think we have to be more practical now about education, particularly for these young entrepreneurs, because we lose them. They get bored,
yeah.
they tune out, and they God forbid, but they get into drugs, they get into, you know, alternative lifestyles that are bad for them, they start identifying with the wrong people, and, you know, then it's so much harder. And what Rick and Tom have done, I think, heroically up there is offer this magnificent space and this just incredible idea and bring to bear their many years of experiences in the trenches as businessmen, as entrepreneurs, and offer it to these young guys and girls, women, to begin to make good on their dreams, you know, and they show them the harsh realities. They show them the problems with funding and the problems with intellectual property and the problems with marketing and hiring. All of that.
Right.
They expose them. They don't just say, oh, everything's rosy, go fulfill your dream. I mean, that's the goal. But, you know, as anyone can tell you, fulfilling your dream includes a lot of disappointment, a lot of failure, a lot of setbacks, and they prepare them for that as well. And, you know, that kind of support and practical support and inspiration and practical hands-on guidance, I don't know of another place like it in the world. And
no.
You know, it's still small. They don't have, they call them inventives rather than students, and I don't know, they have maybe 20 right now. Well, I look
wow.
forward to the day when they have like 200,000 all around the country.
Yes.
Because what they're getting is so much more valuable than what they would get in a standard liberal arts education.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a dream come true for so many creative souls that are being lost. They're
yes.
lost. And this
yes.
is really amazing. And I think
yes.
maybe we should bring Rick and Tom on the program. Are they on, Rick?
We are on. This is Rick.
This
oh,
is
great.
Tom.
And Tom. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So excited to have everybody on. This is just such a wonderful vehicle that you have. And I know everybody who's listening wants to hear so much about what's going on there and in how, for me, we can get this out to Southern California fast.
And I love the discussion on the, you know, the art schools, et cetera. And we have quite a few folks who are creative and artistic here as well. And I think one of the differences we try and see, you know, where does that fit into a career in business? So one of the young women in our program, she's very artistic, but, you know, she wants to work and be a fashion designer as well. So she's been able to use her skills to create her own prints and her own designs and then turn that into a fashion line.
Wow.
We have another gentleman.
Is that Becca?
Great with graphics. Yeah, that's Becca, yeah.
She's coming on Sunday. I'm looking forward to spending some time with her on the phone, too, because I think, you know, hearing
story.
It from the student standpoint would be great for people to hear as well.
Yep. Then we have another gentleman who's very artistic, and he's creating his own graphic novels as one of his projects. We talk about Plan A and Plan B. So Plan B is a graphic novel and doing some great work on that, but he's also looking at other careers in graphic design, working for high-tech companies, et cetera, that he can use his skills with as well.
Wow, and I know that there's a lot of acceptance at that school, a lot of acceptance for who they are, and this is what this population looks for, is acceptance.
Yeah, for us, that's absolutely critical.
If I can just jump in, because I'm going to leave in a minute, but it's much more than acceptance. They embrace them. They don't just accept them. They congratulate them, embrace them. They give them the kind of treatment they've never had before. Instead of just saying, you know, okay, we accept you. They say, we love you. We value you. What you have that has not been valued before is really valued here, and we can help you get over those obstacles. And that's what they do. It's I'm going to sign off in a minute, but I just want you to know that both Rick and Tom tend to understate because they're, you know, good guys and they're not, you know, braggarts and whatnot. But I can tell you, as someone who has worked in this field for, you know, coming up on 40 years, what they're doing is unprecedented, and it's heroic, and it's innovative, it's new, it's unbelievably effective. And all we need to do is just get a whole lot more people on board and carry this around the country and around the world. These are the creatives. These are the people. These are the game changers. And we're losing them way too often. And places like, not places like, Inventive Labs, the one I know of, Inventive Labs will give these people the kind of shot in the arm support launching pad that they really need. I cannot tell you how much I love this program. It really changes lives. Well, I'm going to run, so you guys.
Thank you so much
for
being on the show, Dr. Hallowell. We really appreciate that, and looking forward to hearing so much more about this.
Great. Bye bye.
Thank you. So, can you tell me? I know I had sent you some information, and I just wanted to know, how did you decide to bring a school like this? How did this come about?
Well, I guess this is Rick speaking for people that don't know the voices yet. So we both started out way back doing startups along the way and working at both big companies and small companies. And we just gained a lot of experience on how things work. And one of the big things for us, as we were trying to figure out our next idea, we were trying to figure out a way that we could kind of give back and share our experiences that we had learned along the way. And we were brainstorming some ideas, and Tom was really excited about doing a business incubators because we both love startups, and we think doing startups should be a way of life from our perspective. But our conversation kind of shifted at one point when we were talking about that to family members. And we both have family members that have learning differences. And we had both learned kind of firsthand the discrimination that happens and the exclusion that happens both in the academic world and also in the workplace itself. And I guess the best way to describe how the idea was born was probably in the shower. And that's where I say all great ideas are born. Tom and I had that conversation the day before, and in the shower it hit me what the big idea was. So I kind of jumped out of the shower and told my wife what it was, and she was unimpressed because I had had lots of ideas over the last 2 years that I said were great, but I told her, no, this was the big one. This is the one I've been waiting for. And I called Tom up and I said, what if we did this? What if we took the idea of a business incubator and turned it into something that young adults and adults, doesn't have to be, you know, just right out of college, it can be any age, with learning differences can come and create a livelihood from their passion.
Wow.
And at that point for us, the light bulb started flashing in our heads, because we thought of all the people in our past careers, and this is kind of the knowledge that you get over time that all of a sudden hits you in that aha moment, all the people that we had met in our careers that were transformative in the companies that we worked in, the highly creative types, the people that thought outside the box, the light bulbs went on that we realized they were probably people with learning differences as well. And many of them did not make it through college, yet they were the ones that transformed the companies that we were in. So that's when we put the idea together of actually creating something like this. And then I think, as many people that may be listening and know, there's lots and lots of famous entrepreneurs and successful business people, successful celebrities, successful sports heroes that have ADHD.
I guess you don't know about my book. My book, The Gift of ADD, ADD Land. My son, he designed the cover. It's the Hollywood sign, because there wouldn't be a Hollywood if it wasn't for ADD. And
exactly.
It's exactly what you're saying. I put all these people in this book because I had so many young adults that were coming to me that were depressed, and I wanted to show them what other people with ADD were doing and how exciting, because it's a gift. It truly is.
And the problem now is that they keep getting told along the way that, you know, for example, if you can't write that, you know, one paragraph poem in high school, you're a failure. And that's not the case.
No.
There's so much more that these young adults can do given the right environment and the right place. So that was really the genesis of the idea. We kind of put all these pieces together, and then we started testing it and making sure that it held water and that the idea made sense. And I think the resounding answer that came back was absolutely.
So what kind of people, I know Becca, who's going to be on the show on Sunday, she's doing the fashion world. I'm so excited about having her on. But what other kinds of young adults do you have, and what are they working on there? And how are you helping them to get to that place they want to be?
Yes, I think what's interesting, this is Tom, and what's interesting is we don't really have a single, you know, model of who would come to the school. It's really kind of wide range. We have some folks who are super passionate about one item, and that's what they want to come to school about. We have others who have passions across multiple fields. Maybe it changes every year, something else that they want to jump in and dive into, and that really gives them diversity. That's great as well. So we have a few different teams of folks who are here right now. We have a group that just came in, and they're very passionate about phone apps, and what they're really trying to do is tie productivity and social apps together. So not only is it social where you connect with your friends, but it can help with productivity. And they've been able to generate their idea. They've been able to go out and raise some funding to get their idea to come through. They've connected up with the programmers who can build it, and they're about to launch their company here in the next week or two, where they'll be going off to generate their first couple ideas on the apps.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah. And they've raised, it was just about $300,000 they went out with angel investors and were able to raise that money. And just the work they put into creating an investor pitch deck and putting everything together so they can go in front of a room of investors and share their idea and their concept and get a resounding yes by getting the backing is great.
That's amazing. When they launch it, I would love to know. I can put it on my website because that's so exciting for them. I mean, I'm so excited about what you're doing because, you know, for years I believe that so many of these kids, myself included, for a long time fell through the cracks because there was just, I didn't feel at home. Like I was saying to Dr. Hollowell in college, it was just a drudgery for me. I made it through, but it was very difficult.
I very much shared the same experience as well. School is, when I was younger, struggled immensely. I had a few subjects I might do well in and some different times, different teachers that let me do well, but there were a lot of years that were really very tough. And I saw it, you know, with my son in school as well, with the struggles he had. And as Rick said, that was really one of the drivers for us to really want to create an environment that can embrace these differences, embrace this creativity. And what we found is it's a lot of times, as you said, it's those first couple of years, it's those non-core subjects, it's the mandatory subjects that really get people held up. So we take those away. We say, you know, what do you want to work on? What do you want to dig into? And they're passionate about what they want to dig into. So we just let them go. We point them in the right direction and introduce them to the right people or show them the right tools, and they tend to run with it in that direction without having to worry about taking subjects they're not interested in, you know, Plato's Republic or some other stuff they may have been required course that, that they don't need to take, and they can be plenty successful without ever learning that.
That's a course I had to take, and I didn't like it too much.
So do you have...
So one thing...
Yes.
I was going to expand on that, if that's okay. I think one key thing that we've learned that I think people might be interested in is that we kind of take an approach of just-in-time learning, we call it.
Okay.
And it's related to, so I'll give you a scenario. So we open our doors up, and we have 8 people that walk in for the first day. Imagine what they would have done if we said, welcome to Inventive Labs. Today we're going to cover intellectual property law. How many do you think would have showed up on day 2?
0.
Yeah. So what? But we did. We taught them intellectual property law, and here's how we did it. So we get them to brainstorm ideas, and they come up with a lot of cool ideas that they want to start to go pursue from a business perspective. And then we hosted an open house with their family members, where we brought in everybody that was engaged, and they started to get nervous about the fact that they were going to show their really cool idea to people they didn't know. So they started asking questions like, okay, now how do we protect our ideas? I mean, how, I don't know so-and-so's brother, so how can I keep them from stealing my ideas? And we said, aha, maybe now's a good time to bring in an intellectual property lawyer, and we'll explain how that works, and we'll teach you about trademarks, patents, copyrights, non-disclosure agreements, et cetera. And we did that. We brought in the lawyer, and he went for 4 hours. And we thought at the end of that session that we were going to get blasted with, oh, my God, that was so boring. They came bouncing out of the room, and they started saying, that was awesome. That was the best thing we've ever learned. We learned exactly what we wanted, when we wanted to learn it, to the level of detail that we needed to learn it to accomplish our goal, which is to protect our IP. And then when we did the open house, they were standing all at the front door. They didn't let anybody in the door until they had all signed their non-disclosure agreements that they had prepared. And that's how they learned it. So
that
I think
that's an unbelievable
key.
Story. That is, you know why that's such a great story? Because, you know, I always struggled with math, and I always used to say it never applied to anything. What you just did was they asked you questions, and then you brought it in. That's why they were so interested in it, because they came up with, well, how do I protect this?
Exactly.
So then they were very interested.
Then they were
engaged.
That's
incredible.
Yep.
Yes.
It's the same way I got through college. I was working as a civil engineer at night to kind of pay my way through school while I was taking civil engineering. And everything I learned in school, I was able to apply that night. And it was a very engaging way to learn, and that's how, you know, I made, you know, school interesting for me at least. I got lucky in that regard.
It's amazing. That's just an incredible story. I really love that story. So are you looking for certain criteria in prospective students that come, or?
It's really, I'd say, this is Tom, and I'd say it's really a wide range of criteria we're looking for. We're often looking for, you know, passion in an area. We're looking for folks that may have had a success in one area. You know, they don't have to be successful in everything in life, and school may not have been a success, but if they did, you know, really great at a tournament somewhere, or they did really great at some different components, it shows a passion and something they want to drill into. We have some folks who, you know, we have a gentleman here who was a valedictorian of his high school. We have others that got A's in one class, but maybe D's in the rest. We've had some that never did well in school, never had good grades, but, you know, they want to get the A in life. And there's certain subjects or areas on their own they went out and they watched an awful lot about. So we really kind of work with folks who want to make sure they're a good match for the program. as part of our process for applications and interview, and then we ask them both what they do well and also where they struggle. And so that's part of the process. It's, you know, where do you need help and where do you think we can fit in for that? And
okay.
That turns into a conversation where we can start saying, all right, this is an area you struggle with, organization or different skills, and we can really see how we can assist and work with them with that skill set.
Wow.
But it's really pretty wide range. And to be honest, Rick and I love to learn new things. So if someone comes in with an area that we're not that familiar with, we may not jump in and, in that area we may not jump in. I think there are a few areas that we may not be able to work with folks as well. We've had a couple examples is somebody really wanted to be an acupuncturist. They wanted to do acupuncture. And in that case,
uh-huh.
there wasn't a lot we could help them out with. You kind of had to go to
right.
acupuncture school or apprenticeship in that area. We also had another gentleman who just wanted to be a rock star. And we're like, great, you love music? We can help you. There's all kind of careers in music, sound technicians, and it's like, nope, I just want to be a rock star. And, it's a challenge to help them on that. We really want that plan B we talked about, the ability of how can you, set up a career, and great if plan A goes, you become a rock star, but if you don't, what's the background that you can work with and make a livelihood out of in an area that you're
That's
passionate
great.
About?
That's great. So do you have... I know it's in Massachusetts, the schools in Massachusetts. Do you have people that could, come to your school through being online? I mean, because since you only have one school right now, which I'm sure you're going to have many more.
Yeah, a couple of things on that. Firstly, and we don't call it a school.
Okay.
And you'll know why, because can you imagine if, the family
yeah.
members or the inventives were looking at going to a place and we called it a school.
Yeah,
They wouldn't come. In fact, the parents told us, don't make it look anything like school
or right.
people won't be interested. So we call it kind of a lab as opposed to a school. And the plan is that when people come here, it's really hands-on. So... you know, a business incubator, a traditional business incubator, people will come in, they get a desk, there might be a few seminars that happen during the day, and at the end of the day, you come and you go, and maybe you work on your stuff and maybe you don't. When they're here, it's, we're open 24/7 because everybody works strange hours sometimes.
Yeah.
And we're here, theoretically the place is open 365 days a year. And they need to come, and when they come, we're engaged all day long. So it's hands-on. It's, poking our heads around the door when they're playing a video game or something and asking how it's going. A lot of oversight happens. So doing it online is not really in our business
okay.
model right now because we think it's a really high-touch type of situation.
Right. I agree.
The kinds of
yeah.
people that we bring in just need extra focus, and it's not like we're teaching online classes to them. We let them kind of lead us, and then we
yeah.
provide what they need to achieve the thing that they're focused on at that particular point, and make sure they have the tools that they need, and they kind of self-discover some of the stuff along the way and get taught by us along the way as well, but they don't realize it.
That's pretty cool. I like
we're
that
stealth.
You have other do you have other lab people that work with the inventives besides you too?
Yeah, actually that's one of the great things about the program. We've been very fortunate that as we started, people started coming out of the kind of the woodwork, so to speak, saying, can I help out? And we try and bring a lot of guests into the lab, a lot of those around industries that folks are interested in. We had a software developer come in multiple times working with industry concepts of agile development or scrum type meetings that actually are great tools for ADHD.
Right.
To come in and kind of teach those concepts and actually help implement those with the folks as well. We've had a few folks in general business, people who are executives at places like Saudi Aramco and GE who want to give back. We have
wow.
an industrial designer who comes in every other week. And so anyone who's designing, industrial design is kind of the artistic side of design. It's actually, you get your master's in art with it, but you take the artistic side of making aesthetically nice products, and who knows an awful lot about manufacturing as well, and can talk about the practicality of what can be built and what can't be built. So it's been great. We've had folks like that who've come in and wanted to contribute their time and really be mentors to folks. And I think that's really what's helped made the program go. And I think for the inventors who are here, they'll say one of the things that Rick and I probably do the most is network back to our network of folks we've worked with over the years and find the right person that can help them out in their field. Because there's only so much, you know, we kind of know the business side and how to bring a product to market, but the specifics of a lot of fields, we really try and bring folks in from the outside.
Which is great. Yeah, this is an amazing, it's just an amazing lab. I was ready to call this thing again, but
right.
I don't want to turn anybody off. I won't do that. It's now a lab. So tell me something. How can people that are listening to the show get involved in this project? What can we do, all of us, to get involved in this? Because I have to tell you, this is just an amazing thing that you're doing.
Well, I would say first and foremost, and thanks again for that. I think Dr. Halliwell said it well. For us, the challenge is we've been really head down for the last year with the team that started here, really drilling through and trying to find paths to success for them. So our first mission was to make these guys successful, and now we're starting to cross the threshold where they're becoming successful, and now we want to tell the world about it. So we really are kind of building a grassroots almost kind of organization here to where now that we've kind of proven the model, because there were a lot of doubters when we first started. You know, I'd get a lot of strange looks sometimes when I told people what I was thinking of doing versus taking kind of a normal career type job again. And now we've kind of proven it, and we want to start telling the world. So the biggest thing people can do initially right now to help is to spread the word. I was fortunate enough to do a TEDx conference presentation last just 3 or 4 days ago. And
great.
It's not live yet on the internet, but when it goes out, it's something entitled Necessary Brilliance.
Oh.
And it really describes what we see as our mission here at the lab with kind of changing the lives of these young adults and adults that are kind of being forgotten and pushed to the wayside because they may or may not have made it through college or they may or may not fit into the workforce. So our mission is to really spread that word. And the more people that know about this place and the more people that engage with us, the more likely it is that we can try to grow it based on what we've learned and try to get to other locations around the country and, quite frankly, around the world. We get calls from all over the world wondering when we're going to open in their place. We even got a call from Trinidad and Tobago saying that there was a huge demand in Trinidad and Tobago for a place like the lab. I mean, it's been amazing.
That's incredible.
And as I said in the TEDx
presentation,
we're a small place in Massachusetts. I'm sorry?
Why? Have you heard from Southern California? Because I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
With Hollywood being here? Yeah.
The Hollywood lab, that would be perfect. Inventive Labs Hollywood. That
would be great.
We can make t-shirts.
Yeah. You would have a lot of clients. Inventives. You would have a lot of inventives that came to that lab, believe me, here. I would be so excited if you brought that here. It would just be incredible.
That is our goal as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're still refining the program and what really works. We do a lot with the folks who are here and what's really working for them, what's not working for them, and how we refine it. So we are keeping track of that along the way and really trying to, you know, document those secrets of success and what we can duplicate and bring to other locations.
So are you encouraging, for example, let me just use my son. He went to the Academy of Art University and he majored in sound production, and he's also a composer. So he's really floundering, and of course the school, I'm sorry, but they don't do anything to help these kids really find jobs. And so if somebody with that background called you, can you walk me through what you would do with that particular kid or a young adult?
Yeah, I think with the young adult, I think the first thing is we really want to kind of get to know them better. So we usually have an initial conversation with them, talk about, what they've done in the background, and, the fact going through school and getting the degree, that's a big success, and I think that's That's great. And also the other passions you talked about, the sound and the music.
Right.
From there, based on that conversation, we probably share with them our application, which we basically tell them spelling and grammar don't count. What we're trying to do is get a better feel for who you are.
Right.
And so some people do it in bullet points. Some people may want to do a video on it. You know, there's different ways you might want to do it. But basically,
okay.
It's, as I mentioned earlier, it's, you know, the chance to find out what you do well, you know, some things you've done in your background, areas that you struggled, what environments tend to work good for you. And then that usually leads into a deeper conversation where we can jump in and we can then brainstorm on, you know, what are some things that you kind of see yourself doing in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And from that, we come up with a few potential options. We don't expect those to be the final option, but there are
okay.
a few good ways. And through that whole brainstorming and kind of working with them, we kind of get a real good feel on, you know, how they work with mentorship, you know, how the thought process is. And if we really fail from there, we can help them leave our program with a livelihood, generating some enough revenue. In our case, you don't need to be the next Google or the next biggest company, but it's great if you have something that's going to help you, you know, put bread on the table and live self-sufficient.
Exactly.
If we feel
yeah.
we can help on a mission on that, then we think they're a good candidate, and we offer them a spot in the lab.
And how long are they usually at the lab?
Yeah, it varies from, I mean, we've broken the program up. We started out with it as a year and with an option to extend for a second year. And one thing we learned kind of quickly is that everyone splits at about the six-month mark and kind of goes in different directions, kind of like they start on the tree trunk, and then when they get a little bit higher, they just branch off into different
okay.
areas. So we have 2 six-month programs that we think are kind of required. I mean, somebody could take off after 6 months and say, that's it, I figured it out, I know what I want to do, and off they go.
Okay.
But so the first 6 months is really focused on brainstorming and coming up with numerous ideas of anything that they can think of that
wow.
could be interesting to them. And then we try to work really hard with them on narrowing those down to things that are realistic to actually make money at, because the goal that we always, you know, and reinforce with everybody here is, you know, nobody's going to pay you just to think and do nothing. You've got to turn it into, you know, dollars in your pocket at some point in order to live, unless you want to go live in the outback and, you know, live off the land or something. So
right.
our mission is to get them to start thinking in that direction. So by the end of 6 months, we hope they've narrowed it down to this, maybe 2 or 3 things that are actually doable and realistic. And then from that, it depends on what path they want to take. So the example that Tom gave earlier of the app team, the guys that are developing an application, they went to investors.
Okay.
Their idea had a big enough market and a big enough opportunity that investment was an interesting possibility, where investors are actually looking for a return down the road to when the business is sold or if it goes public or something like that.
Right.
That's one branch. The other branch is, it might not be that big a business. It might just be something as simple as opening a corner store, selling stuff that they love to make and making
right.
money doing that. And they don't, you know, money is important to some people and not as important to others. As long as they can make enough to make a living and have a place to live and a roof over their head and they're doing what they love, then that's another
right.
path that they can take. Some people here are very inventive, and they may come up with some ideas on that they don't want to necessarily do or aren't capable of doing, but they could license their ideas to somebody who wants to build it and create it. And that's another path. And then finally, you know, not surprisingly, some of them might finally say, I finally figured out what I wanted to do, and now I know which college I should have gone to, and now I know what degree I should have gotten, and I'm going to go do that.
Wow.
So it depends on how they end up after really kind of pursuing their passion here.
Yeah, you know, we really found it. Just so, you know, Dr. Hallowell talked about, you know, going to get his, you know, doctorate degree and the ability to be passionate about it and kind of move forward. And what we really found is, you know, with ADHD, if you're passionate and you find the right field and the right college, then you can take off and do amazing things. And remember, Rick mentioned earlier friends that we knew. So we have friends that we've had that struggled through their 20s, but in their 30s went and got their master's in engineering or master's in industrial design or different components that really helped out. So school is definitely an option coming out of this as well. And definitely some careers and some areas you need that. So that is one option. And folks have the ability to explore what they're passionate about here to see if, you know, they do want to go back to school for it.
Which is such an incredible concept because, as I said before with the colleges, you know, by the time the 2 years are up, if you've made it through, then they want to know what you want to major in. And I have to tell you myself, I work with a lot of young adults, and they have graduated, and they don't know where they're going or what they're doing.
Right.
And they really
don't
know they have.
Yeah, even if it's the 4 years of school.
Yeah.
Well,
they have a major
in.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, I guess who are the people that kind of guide our kids? Unfortunately, it's still the guidance counselors.
Yeah.
My guidance counselor was, oh, you're good in math and science. You should be an engineer. So that's what I did. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I got through my third year of mechanical engineering, and I realized that I hated sorry to anyone who's a mechanical engineer, but I hated it. And I switched to civil. And luckily, I loved it. And then, you know, I went from, you know, so-so grades to 4.0 all the way at that point.
Wow.
Because I loved it.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough to make that shift and only go an extra year of college to get through. Not everybody else is that lucky. They don't find it. So imagine if people could come to a place like ours for a year and truly drill into, you know, their own soul and soul search and figure out what they're truly passionate about and then make that decision as opposed to kind of the grinder, the conveyor belt they're on, you know, junior, senior year, then you must go to college and then you must have a career. It's,
right.
It's a little bit strange the way we do things today.
It really is. And we still go back to the Puritan way of school where everybody sits in a desk and, you know, it's just so unfortunate because there's so many kids that just can't do that. They really can't. It's just not the way they're made up. I mean, with ADHD.
Yeah, we don't require chair spinning here, but if you want to spin in your chair, that's fine.
Yeah, or they have the wiggle seats, too, that they can
yep.
that they can sit in, too. Yeah, as well.
Yeah, we got a lot
of
exercise
things,
balls around the place.
Which is great. I love those. One of the things maybe you could speak to, because I do have a lot of listeners that our parents and their kids are in school, whether they're in high school or they're in college, and they're struggling a lot with grades. And, you know, I always used to tell my boys when they would go off to school in the morning, guys, school is what you do. It is not who you are. In other words, do not rate yourself by the A's. You know, it's all about effort. And I, you know, work with a lot of parents. I have a lot of parents who contact me. They're so upset because their kids aren't getting the A's. And it's all about, it's not that they're not bright. We are an incredibly bright population. It's because of, could be organizational issues, could be that we're completely bored. And I wonder if you could just speak to the parents that are listening about how important it is to not make such a big deal over those grades and more about them finding their passion and really exploring that, coming to your school or however they're going to find their passion.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of the right quote here. And I was researching my TEDx, I found it and it was used a lot. It was something like the A students are going to work with the B students. The C students are going to be the hard workers, and the D students are going to run the place. So, and I forget where that came from, but that really resonated with me because
I love that.
It's about effort, and I think with entrepreneurship or doing anything, I think the people that we see that are going to be most successful coming out of the labs are the people that grind it out and
mm-hmm.
put in the effort and put in the time and show up in the morning and stay until late at night. I mean, that's just the way life is.
Mm-hmm.
Degree or no degree, if you're going to be successful in life, if you can grind it out and you can get something that you're truly passionate about where the time flies by and you don't know that the time is flying by, the hyper-focus kicks in. And then at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people with ADHD, they will accomplish in one day what other people will take 5 days to accomplish when they lock in and go.
That's right.
And if they can keep doing that over and over and over again, success is inevitable. And I think the other thing that about people with ADHD is the reason they become such good managers is they delegate completely the things they don't do. They don't become micromanagers. And the successful entrepreneurs that you see out there, like a guy I love a lot is Richard Branson, when he talks about not knowing the difference between net and gross. And then you ask him the question, you know, on a financial statement, you ask him the question, aren't you concerned about that? His answer is no. I hire the best and brightest financial people in the world to run my finance organization. And then I leave them alone and I don't have to worry about it because I know they're nailing it. Mm-hmm. So for people that are concerned about grades, you know, grades are a measure of how I think attention surplus disorder people function. As Dr. Halliwell so well puts it, it's the way it measures them well, but it doesn't measure ADHD people well.
Exactly.
I think the other component, if you ask the question for folks, would they prefer that their child was getting C in loving schools or getting A's in hating school? I'd take the C's in loving school because they're going to continue to want to learn life. They're going to continue to go forward. If you burn them out in school when they're young or they learn to hate school, eventually those grades are going to go down. So I think from that aspect, if you can really let them, if you can put it, you know, you have to get the information across to them. You have to share the information. They have to get the knowledge. But if you can put it in a way that for them is interesting and they want to learn, then I think you just have a lot of advantages there.
No, I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. So tell me, is this you have boarding facilities for kids that are coming from all over the country, or how does that work?
So we actually don't have formal boarding itself. We do have folks who do come in. We're in a town of a small, medium-sized town in Amesbury, a little bit north of Boston, and there is a lot of housing right in the area. Our complex is actually, it's one of the mill buildings. We're the top floor, one of the mill buildings that's all been redone, and you know, a lot of open light, a lot of open area. And there's definitely, there's a couple other mill buildings that have been converted over to residential, very nice facilities that either single or double room. We have some folks who share an apartment, some who take up, you know, single room apartment as well. They're all close within walking distance, so a vehicle is optional in that case, and that works out pretty well.
That's great. That's really great because, yeah, they need to have a place where they can be and you know, just feel like they're connecting. And if they're sharing rooms, too, they're connecting with other, they're inventives. And
yeah.
I think that's,
the other thing that's,
you know,
nice is, in the, you know, we try and keep the lab as an invited environment. And Rick mentioned it's 24/7. So we have a lounge area with a big screen TV. And, you know, they can have movie nights here. They have board game nights, you know, video game nights and stuff. So it's also a community. It's the acceptance that Dr. Halliwell was talking about earlier. It's a community that you can become involved in and get accepted. And we also do, you know, meals as well is one of the things we do. So they can come in and create their own breakfast, but we have lunch provided, and we also do dinner together as a group. And that's just a great bonding experience.
Great.
And we can talk about each other's projects and what you're working on. It's a great way to share cross-discipline.
Oh, that is so great. Do you have anybody there that's on the spectrum as well, or is it just ADHD and learning disabilities, dyslexia and...
Yeah, what we really have, focus really has been ADHD and dyslexia.
Okay.
We haven't, just, you know, if someone is on the spectrum, you know, that isn't a reason to rule them out, and it's also not a reason necessarily for them to come on the program. And as you know, the spectrum's pretty wide, so there's a lot of different components that come into that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, because I do know that they are also very, very creative individuals as well. And like you said, the spectrum is very wide, so you can have a lower end of the spectrum where you don't have a lot of the debilitating aspects of autism, but you have a lot of the creative side, which, especially when they're both ADHD and on the spectrum, they have...
Exactly.
The creative side as well. Tell me, how does the town embrace the inventive lab?
Well, I think... right now, I'm not sure how much they know we're here yet, because we have been head down working with it. But, you know, the community that we're in is very supportive, and the people that Tom was talking about that come in and help, they're really from the town and around, you know, out to probably a 20 or 30-mile radius. So once people heard that we were opening up the place. It was kind of like a Field of Dreams type experience. If you build it, they will come. And people just started hearing about it through word of mouth, and then those are the people that show up to work with our inventives and kind of share their experiences. So that's one form. But I think as we start to grow and spread a little bit more of the word, now that we're comfortable doing that, I think it's a very, very small town. Actually, it's a city, I should say. I shouldn't say town. They get upset when we say town. It's the city of Amesbury. But it's a small city, and I think there's numerous amenities here, and it's a very tight-knit community. So that's why kind of we picked the spot. It's away from Boston. You can imagine in downtown Boston, it would be a little distracting. And in a small city of Amesbury, we could stay focused.
That was a great idea.
There's an innovation center that just went in next to us as well. And innovation center was originally a green technologies they worked with, but now they're diversifying across multiple different areas. And that's really kind of the next stage for folks. So they really work with small companies trying to grow to the next level, and they have a lot of shared services as well. So it's actually, we're working with them now to set up mentorship programs and also, you know, potential internships and other components. So that's kind of a great piece. It allows folks who are successful coming out of here to have another avenue to potentially, you know, take a business they start up to a higher level.
This is such an incredible concept that, you know, I'm surprised that nobody has ever thought of this. It's amazing, because I've thought myself, in just watching my younger son go through art school, I kept thinking as I was watching the graduation rate go to 5%, 4%, I was thinking to myself, so what are they going to do after this? Like, how is this going to work? You're giving them the opportunity to get out there and be successful and feel so good about themselves. That's what this is all about.
And we're shocked. Yeah, we're shocked, too, that it isn't out there before. You know, as an entrepreneur, every time you come up with an idea, you go search it on the web, and there's always someone else thought of it before you did. It's very few ideas you go and can't find. And we first came up with it and started searching. We found there's a few colleges, you know, Landmark College in Vermont and Beacon down in Florida and College of the Ozarks that and Salt in Arizona that gear towards ADHD or learning differences, but that's very few of them, and there's nothing that's really tied into a college alternative. In those cases, you still go through the standard college requirements, and we were just shocked that there weren't more options, and that's really when we said, you know, this is something we need to do, and our unique background, I think, allows us to help get it launched and off the ground.
Yeah, and it sounds like you two are having a lot of fun with this as well, which is so great.
It is. It's great. We learn something new every day. We come in, you know, I knew nothing about fashion design. I've been learning about how to create prints and do patterns. And if you ever saw me dress, you would know I knew nothing about fashion design. But it's great to be able to learn other industries and different ways of doing things. It's, you know, when you have ADHD, you tend to love to learn new things and exciting and new. And we get the chance to do that on a regular basis.
And another thing on that.
Yes.
I was just going to add quickly that just describing how fun the place is. When I go home, I went home one night, and my wife looked at me and said, "You look really exhausted." And I said, "Yeah, and I don't know why, because I love what I'm doing every day. I mean, it's always new, it's always different, it's always exciting and full of challenges." And she said, "I know why." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Well, most people on this planet, Rick, do one startup at a time. You guys are doing nine at once." And then the light bulb went on, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing." No wonder it's hard, but it's hard but fun, and that's kind of our mantra here: play, you know, work hard, play hard, and that's the way it's got to be when you're being entrepreneurial.
Yes, absolutely. How many inventives do you have right now at the lab?
We're at 10 right now, and that's a good number for us, but we're looking to expand a little bit more in February and add a few more spots.
Okay. So would you say that ultimately you would have 20 people at the lab, or would it be less?
That we have here, we have the entire top floor of the mill building kind of planned for expansion, and we think we can handle about 20 or so in this location. And then, you know, then the decision will be made at that point whether to expand into other locations.
Okay.
But certainly we want to get this place up to that level before expanding, and we hope to do that within the next year or so.
Yeah, there's a couple of different components to that. One is the space and the size. It's also staffing as well. So to bring in a new team, we'll need additional folks kind of working with us. And as you said, we've been lucky to have folks really interested in what we're doing. I think we have a couple of good candidates that could help us come in and join Rick and I so we can expand on the number of people in the program.
Wow. It's just so incredibly exciting. What else are you doing besides being on podcasts to really get the word out to other people?
Well, the first thing was that we heard about TEDx back in August. So the opportunity to kind of get on there and spread the word about the lab through TEDx was one of the things that we had done planned for spreading the word. And then we hope that when that goes live, if people can go on and share that and spread it, we'd love to see that get up to the TED site. And the more people that we have sharing and spreading and viewing, the more likely it is it can get up there and then gain a wider audience. So that was certainly one of our strategies that we were aiming for. But also, I think Tom was out at the CHAD conference this week.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, CHAD conference down in New Orleans. And
yeah,
it was great to connect with different folks and share the word. And we're also now looking to go to the ADHD coaching conference down in Virginia later next year, in May of next year as well. So I think going to more conferences would be great. And at that conference, we're looking to do some presentations on the program as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, and, you know, I would love to have as many people on as they can, because I do have a good listening population, and usually we do the show on Sundays. We haven't had any calls in today, and that could be that, I don't know, maybe the time that we did it, but usually on Sundays we get more phone calls. But I'm sure that people are going to listen, because they do. Let me ask you something. Could you tell everybody, because I know all of us want to continue to follow you, so can you tell them the website and how they can get on there and look at what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So the website is inventivelabs.org. So it's all one word, inventivelabs.org. And on there also we have a link where you can subscribe to our newsletter. So that's a great way to follow what's going on. So if you click through, you can subscribe to our newsletter, and we do a monthly newsletter and talk about, you know, things that are going on at the lab. We're also starting to blog about things that we've learned as well with regards to the lab. And then we have a Facebook page that's literally just Inventive Labs, if you search that on Facebook. And we have a Twitter. Our Twitter is at Inventives Rise.
Inventives Rise, okay.
Inventives Rise.
Okay, great.
R-I-S-E is our Twitter.
Okay,
right now.
And you have a Facebook page that's, what is the name of that?
It's just Inventive Labs. If you search on Inventive Labs, all one word, not two words, but one word, you'll find it. And you know you get there when you get to the logo with the school of swimming fish, and the blue fish is going the other direction. That's how you know you're at the right Inventive Labs.
I love it. That's so ADHD. I love it. It's great. It's really wonderful. So we're going to have Becca on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. We don't have any calls that are coming in. Do you two want to talk about anything else, or are you going to come back on Sunday with her as well?
Yeah, one of us will definitely be back on with Becca on Sunday. We could answer more questions about it then.
Great.
And I think the story with Becca, I think, will be great. I think she's kind of the, and I won't steal her thunder for that show, but I think hearing how she found out about us, and then the doubts that she had, and then what has happened with her since she's been here, I think will be a very compelling story for folks.
I'm so excited about having her on, coming from Australia, coming all the way from Australia to Massachusetts to do this. What a great story. And I just want to get it out there so everybody can hear about it. It's wonderful.
Great.
So I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I want to get you both back on again as this thing grows more. I would love to help you get the word out as much as possible. And I'm hoping that soon you're going to tell me you're going to be in Hollywood Labs.
Well, thanks. We really appreciate
you
being on the show, and look forward to continuing the conversation with yourself and your listeners.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right.
I really
appreciate
you being on.
See you later.
All right. Take care.
All right. And
bye-bye.
See you Sunday, maybe.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Absolutely. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And Sunday, we're going to do a show with Becca, who was one of the inventives at the Inventive Lab. And she's from Australia, traveled all the way to Massachusetts for fashion design. And I'm so interested in hearing her story. So I hope all of you will listen on Sunday and possibly call in and ask some questions, okay? Have a great night, and please remember, everyone, to stay in the moment. Take care.